Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, new lawmakers chosen in Tuesday's special elections will not change the balance of power at the State House. Food banks in Georgia say they're stretched thin by strong demand and weak supply. And Georgia is in the midst of its most significant drought in 14 years, and it's getting worse.
We're anywhere from 9 to 13 inches behind average rainfall.
Today is Thursday, April 9th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Georgia's major food banks say they're being stretched thin by demand that is outpacing supply. That's trickling down to community pantries that meet people's immediate needs for food. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Local food pantries run out of churches and community centers can be lifelines for people experiencing food insecurity. Frank Shepard, president of Feeding the Valley Food Bank in West Georgia, says it's concerning that most of these pantries have had to cut down on the food they give out and how often.
This food shortage is no surprise to anyone, but this crisis has really surged in the first quarter of the calendar year 26, making it just that much more difficult.
Because Shepard says not only is demand up, but supply is down too, across once reliable streams.
That includes donations from retailers, manufacturers, farmers, as well as federal commodities.
And that demand, driven by hungry families, isn't likely to slow down anytime soon.
We are seeing people who have never needed help before in the last few years have needed that.
Eliza McCall is with Second Harvest of South Georgia, where just this week, a pantry partner in Turner County said it could no longer afford its weekly meal distribution. She says people in her area are still recovering from the devastation caused by major hurricanes last year. And now there's more to manage.
You know, we are hearing them talk about food prices. We are hearing them talk about gas prices. It's a lot of different factors.
Counties below Georgia's fall line already have levels of food insecurity above national averages. Now for area food banks, it's about being cautious with supply to make sure everyone who needs help can get it. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
Georgia's most significant drought in 14 years is getting worse. The most recent drought monitor released today shows nearly half of Georgia in exceptional or extreme drought. The lack of moisture is most acute in South Georgia's vast agricultural heartland. University of Georgia cotton agronomist Camp Hand says some cotton growers planted their crop early to take advantage of last weekend's rain, since no significant rainfall is expected for weeks.
We're anywhere from 9 to 13 inches behind average rainfall. So we're already going into an alarming situation.
Dry vegetation and high winds have prompted fire danger warnings across the state. Republican and Democratic Party leaders in Georgia are reacting to Tuesday's election results in Northwest Georgia, where Democrats lost a congressional bid but improved their performance. GPB's Sarah Callis has more.
Democratic Party of Georgia Chair Charlie Bailey says they were encouraged by Democrat Sean Harris's performance in the 14th District and will dedicate more resources to supporting down-ballot races in hopes of flipping seats.
As we speak, we are knocking doors, distributing literature and yard signs, investing in paid media for the first time ever in some of these races.
Republican Party of Georgia Chair Josh McCoon says that while the special election won by Republican Clay Fuller saw a lower turnout among Republicans, they will focus on boosting turnout among low-propensity voters for upcoming elections.
And so we need to make sure that we've got the resources in place to contact these folks over and over again, because that's what it takes.
Republicans and Democrats will get to test the waters as voters elect two state Supreme Court judges in May.
In addition to the congressional election, Georgia voters on Tuesday chose three new state lawmakers in special election runoffs that filled vacant seats in the Georgia General Assembly. The newest lawmakers include two Democrats in the House and a Republican in the Senate. And since they are replacing members of their own party, their wins won't shift the overall partisan makeup of either chamber. Republican Lanny Thomas of Northwest Georgia's Chattooga County, Democrat Vanola Mason of Metro Atlanta's DeKalb County, and Democrat Sheila Nelson of Augusta-Richmond County all have qualified to run in the May primaries, seeking full terms in office. Tybee Island will not be getting $12 million in federal funds that the city requested to renourish its beach. City officials say they're disappointed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' decision shared with them last week. Mayor Brian West says the beach has lost about 60% of its sand to erosion since the last renourishment in 2020.
We have areas that, you know, by the end of the season next year, maybe dunes will be completely washed away and we'll have water under our businesses and residences and in our parking lots.
He says there's also an economic impact with millions of annual beach-going visitors.
We have close to 2 million visitors a year that cross our bridge and come to visit, and you know, they bring their families and they stay for the week and they enjoy a vacation here. So of course there's lots of things to do here, you know, other than spend time on the beach, but that is the primary recreational activity. So we're going to have to, you know, work to let people know which areas of the beach are the best to go to avoid you know, getting washed out at high tide.
The city may consider stopgap measures to prevent flooding.
There's a new season of the Fork in the Road podcast. Taste the flavors, hear the voices, and feel the soul of the Peach State. You can find it online at gpb.org/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sandy Springs in Metro Atlanta is moving forward with plans for a new park along the Chattahoochee River. City Council has approved a nearly $4 million contract with Eastern Builders to construct Old Riverside Park on Old Riverside Drive. The 23-acre park will include river access, a playground, nature trails, and green space, while preserving much of the site's natural features. The project has been in the works for more than a decade and is expected to be completed by the end of the year. City leaders say the park will expand access to green space for residents in West Central Sandy Springs. DoorDash customers in Metro Atlanta soon might get their food delivery by drone. The company yesterday announced a partnership with residential drone delivery firm Wing. The initial rollout in Locust Grove, south of Atlanta, puts the DoorDash Wing partnership now in 4 U.S. markets. Today, communities across the country are marking the inaugural Local News Day, a nationwide day of action connecting Americans with the trusted local newsrooms covering the issues that shape their daily lives. Participating newsrooms are marking the day with community events. In Georgia, among other events, the Red and Black is hosting a mayoral debate ahead of upcoming elections in Athens. GPB's Orlando Montoya spoke about Local News Day with one of its organizers, John S. Adams of the Montana Free Press.
What is Local News Day all about?
Local News Day is really about reconnecting audiences with local news in their communities and drawing attention to the great journalism that's happening all around us every day, close to home, and, you know, pulling some of the attention back from the national news and national narratives and getting folks to pay attention to the journalism that it really impacts their lives on a daily basis. And so it's about celebrating, elevating, and drawing attention to the great work that is happening at the community level all across America.
And why are you spearheading Local News Day?
That's a good question. I guess because it was partly my idea. This whole concept came up over a cup of coffee about 15 months ago with Matt Singer, who is one of the founders of National Voter Registration Day. And we were talking about the work that National Voter Registration Day has done to activate and get so many, you know, millions of Americans to register to vote on a single day of action. And that was really kind of inspiring. And I thought, why don't we have something like that for journalism, where we draw attention collectively across the country to the great work that local news does all over America and re-engage audiences. This is about growing audiences for local news, because if you start local, you stay connected. And if you have large audiences for local news, then that news can have an impact and more people can be involved in what happens in their communities on a day-to-day basis.
Can you talk about the importance of local newsrooms in the context of corporate takeovers?
As corporate takeovers have consolidated so much of our traditional legacy media, it's really made it difficult in the sense that newsrooms got smaller over a period of time as, you know, the attempt to increase profits for shareholders and whatnot shrank newsrooms. And so we had fewer reporters reporting in city halls and school boards and planning commissions and zoning commissions around the country. And in the wake of that, we have had over the last, 10 years or so, sort of a renaissance, if you will, of local news popping up in the form of digital first, in the form of podcasts, in the form of even some social media creators are doing local news at the local level. And so what we wanted to do is highlight that and say, look, there's local news happening all over the place. It's growing. People are finding these news sites and these new news operations, and they're finding these independent journalists that are covering the things that matter in their community. And we wanted to draw attention to that, help raise audiences for those local news creators.
A news desert tracker at the University of North Carolina shows 17 Georgia counties with no news outlet, 112 counties with a single news outlet, and a total decrease in news outlets from 211 in 2004 to 166 in 2019. Can you talk about what communities lose when they become a news desert?
Well, you lose access to knowing what's happening, what the folks who are in power in your community, what they're doing. And what we see when people lose access to local news is corruption goes up, taxes go up, government becomes less efficient and more expensive when it isn't accountable. And so that's really what this is about. You know, I think one of the things that journalism can do, yes, we hold power to account. We do investigative journalism, but we also tell people what's going on and how they can participate. It's not just reporting on what happened in the past tense. It's oftentimes reporting on how you can be involved, how you can participate and help shape outcomes right here close to home in your community.
And finally, how can people get behind their local newsrooms?
Well, it's really as simple as, you know, subscribing, tuning in, listening, supporting, whether you're a for-profit or a nonprofit organization. You really rely on your audience, your readers, your listeners, your viewers, both to have an impact. You know, if people don't know about the great journalism, then they can't use that journalism in their daily lives. And so we need more people to be aware of the information that local journalists provide. And then we need those folks to support it either by subscribing, by donating, by taking out an ad. That's what this is about. This is about getting people to support the local news that brings value to their daily lives. And so share it on social media, tell your friends to listen or subscribe, or, you know, make a donation to your local nonprofit or public media outlet.
That's John S. Adams of the Montana Free Press. You can find out more about Local News Day by visiting localnewsday.org. John Adams, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
John S. Adams spoke with GPB's Orlando Montoya. In sports, Braves pitcher Ronaldo Lopez will be suspended for 5 games following a fight on Tuesday with Angels outfielder Jorge Soler. Both Soler and Lopez were initially given 7-game suspensions. Lopez had his suspension reduced after appeal. No word on the status of Soler's appeal yet. With an off day, Lopez will be able to keep his scheduled next start for Atlanta. The Braves have the day off today before coming home to Truist Park tomorrow for the first of a 3-game series against the Cleveland Guardians. The team also will be showing off their new City Connect jerseys, which the team describes as, quote, a nod to the Braves' classic 1980s powder blue uniforms. And that's all we've got for Georgia Today. Thanks so much for listening. And remember to come back tomorrow, subscribe to this podcast, and you won't miss a thing. And remember to check gpb.org/news for updates. We're always posting new stories there as well. If you have feedback, send it our way by email. That's the best way to reach us. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.